I'm Frank Vaughn. It's March 12th, 2025. Those of you who've known me the longest, and there's probably not that many of you, know that when I was 20 years old, I got hit by a forklift working my weekend job, because at the time I worked 5 days a week doing contracting work, and I worked the weekends at a plastics factory. And I got hit by that forklift, and it busted up my knee pretty good, and it's never been the same. So yesterday, after I finished uploading and doing everything, I went outside to actually enjoy my life for 20 minutes or a half hour. The kids were tobogganing, and my wife was tobogganing, and I thought, hey, I'm going to toboggan too. The first couple runs, they went pretty good. And then I had an almost childlike moment on the third run. I'm going down the hill, and I'm smiling, and I'm looking at the blue sky, and I'm looking at the trees, and I'm having a really good time. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my sled disappears out from under me. And all of a sudden, I'm tumbling through the icy surface of the snow. And that knee, when you know it, became a pivot point for the rest of my body. And I wrenched it something good. And as I lied there in the snow, writhing in pain, thinking about how the hell I was going to get back to the house, I realized something. I realized I'm a man in my 40s. I'm not young anymore. In a sense, not in the way when your life is threatened, but in a sense, as I'm laying there in the snow, writhing around, my life flashed before my eyes. And I know that sounds dramatic, but let me explain. I started thinking about the future. I started thinking about the next 20 years. And it just dawned on me again that my worst nightmare is more of the same for Canada. That my children, my little kids, will grow up in 20 years in a world framed, in a Canadian world framed, in a Canadian nation framed by the status quo. That the mass immigration, the rudderless leadership, the sellout of the nation, the, on the one hand, demonization of everything Canadian, the assault that we've been under for a decade of our national identity. Our very flag was called a symbol of hate not that long ago. The people who gathered together to protest the violation of fundamental human rights, who draped themselves in the flag, one of the only Canadian movements that we've actually genuinely had, were repressed, their bank accounts seized, and their lives in many cases destroyed. And the same people who did that, who demonized the flag, called you a cultural mosaic, said you had no core national identity, are the very same that want to drape themselves in that flag today and pretend to be patriots and pretend to be nationalists. And again, as I lied there in the snow, I realized that my worst nightmare isn't Mark Carney. It's not Pierre Poilievre. It's not any politician that you can name. It's that we will keep electing people who don't want to reform our archaic system, our archaic institutions. People keep linking lists, and forgive me if I'm a little stuttery today or off my game. My knee hurts significantly. I'll be fine. I want to get back to tobogganing before the winter runs out, but this is going to be kind of a single take thing. I got a number of things I want to cover and get off my chest today. I'm not afraid of politicians and their various false promise. I'm not afraid of their promises, because they are all upfront and seemingly united in the idea that they're not going to touch Confederation. They're not going to fix equalization. They're not going to give you an elected Senate. They're not going to give you an elected head of state. The head of state is the king and his representative, the governor general, who might be appointed by the prime minister, but c'est la vie. It sucks. The Westminster system is terrible for the people. And folks can post lists all they want talking about how great things are here in Canada. I can read the Constitution with my own eyes. I can read the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and I can know that before the first article is read in the Charter, that the government can come along and suspend your so-called rights anytime they want. And even if it's found in the postscript, as it was with the Emergency Act being invoked in 2022, for the convoy that went to Ottawa. It was found in court that it was unjustified. No one went to jail. No one lost their job. No member of government was held accountable. Nobody was fined. Nothing happened. So your most precious civil liberties can be dispensed with on a whim, and even if it's found to be wrong, nothing will ever happen. And we are still being governed by the same government. The country's been begging for an election for a long time. We still don't have it, and we may not get it. We're not going to get it until the left in this country has figured out how to win it. Now, Pierre Poilievre is catering to the middle, and he's cratering his own numbers. That's a fact. Whether you think IQOS is live-action roleplay, it is. And if you don't believe Leisure's numbers, and there's no reason for you to do so, there are other pollsters out there that are far more credible, and they're showing the weakening. But the fact is, the left this time, in the face of an unprecedented crisis with the United States, which is how they're framing it, they're calling it a threat on our sovereignty. These people who've sold this country out, given away our resource industry to Chinese investment, given over our universities to Chinese money, sold us out, turned Canada into a northern narco state. These people want to talk about sovereignty. Mark Carney, a man who hasn't been in Canada in 10 years, who lives in New York and self-identifies as a European, wants to talk about the sanctity of Canadian sovereignty. Let's do this picture first. This is Mark Carney when the United States announced that they were slapping a tariff on metals. He decided to go tour a steel factory or a fabrication factory, but he couldn't get any of the workers themselves to want to stand in the picture, so they dressed up the MPs to look like workers. This is dress up fake stuff. Do you think Mark Carney has ever done a day's work in his life with his hands? There are people who call what I do not real work. I've done a lot of real work in my life. I've put in my time. Do you think Mark Carney's ever put in any time? These people have sold you out. They don't care about your sovereignty. They're just dressing up in it because it's politically expedient. Because Donald Trump came along and he reawakened American nationalism. They're going through the U.S. government, and they are actually tackling the deep state like they promised in 2016 and couldn't get done. They're doing it now. And the United States is going to be changed, probably for a generation, if not longer, by what's going to happen over the next 4 years. And the Americans, seemingly, at least in some way, are openly inviting Canada to join in the project to create a strong North America, to create a new continentalism. And there's a lot of Canadians who instinctually react against that negatively, and I don't know why. I'm going to read a tweet or an X post that I put out this morning. I rarely read, but I'm going to read this anyway. Canadians have very little civic representation, with no right of recall and no expectation that the few people we elect will keep their word to the voters. It's been litigated. You can't expect your MPs to do anything for you. You have no right of recall. You can't challenge them in court. They don't have to keep their word to you. Facts of the matter. You're stuck with them until you get to mark an X for another set of losers. We have an appointed virtually for life Senate, and you can do nothing about it. And not a single political leader willing to even try and change it. Poilievre has come out and said he will not touch the Constitution. He will not fix equalization. He will not do anything about the Senate. The fact is, if you believe in Poilievre, and that's fine, I want you to understand, I am no longer telling you how to vote or what to do with your vote. I'm just here to tell you the truth. That's my job. Could change. Maybe there will be something to vote for in the future. I'm not telling you what to do. But I am telling you that Poilievre said none of these things are on his radar. He is not looking to empower the citizen. He's not looking to change the archaic way this country is run. And that means more of the same, fiddling with the drapes while the house burns. The inherently unfair equalization system treating Western Canada as a piggy bank is an untouchable tenet of our nation no one wants to touch. We have judges that we don't vote on and that we cannot remove when they become activists. Our head of state is an absentee king. We have no genuine God-given rights. as they can be suspended by the government at a whim, and even if the suspension is later found unjust, no one goes to jail or is punished. We don't even have something as basic as property rights. We don't. The order in councils when it comes to gun owners prove that you don't have property rights. The CCFR has been fighting a massive, very expensive case, and it looks like it's going to prove that you have no property rights, that the government can come along even when they're not sitting during prorogation and can just sign some paperwork and render what you had legally one moment completely illegal and threaten to jail you for it the next moment. That's what they're doing. Targeting the most vetted and safest community in Canada, which is legal firearms owners. Literally, we're the best. We are scanned and prodded. We are vetted more than our politicians. We are vetted more than our immigrants. And we're the ones they're targeting. While gangbangers and the people they're dumping in this country shoot up your streets with illegal firearms. And by the way, murder and shooting is already illegal anyway. But they're coming after us. We live within a fantastical construct of what we think Canada is, imagining it to be this great and virtuous place. But the evidence is all around you that we need reform urgently. Our cities are becoming foreign outposts for our new status as a resource colony. Our streets filled with drug addiction and violent crime. Our productivity is in the tank, and the socialists who run the show just want to hand out even more free money, which we don't have. That's the response that we're leading towards. As things finally get kicked off with the United States, I don't know what Trump is waiting for. Canada's literally spitting on America every single day. Our retaliatory tariffs and all this stuff. We have been talking about crimes against humanity, literally. It's not hyperbole. What Ford is describing, cutting off electricity to the United States, is something the Russians didn't even do to the Ukrainians. It's a crime against humanity. It's an act of war. Before the Americans have done anything, this is our rhetoric. I showed you in yesterday's video the rhetoric, the final thing that Chrystia Freeland's campaign. By the way, Chrystia Freeland, Mark Carney's one of her children's godfathers. Mark Carney is the son of Margaret Trudeau's sister-in-law. It's all one big incestuous network of politicians. The fact that so many drank so deep from Trudeau's parting words after all the damage he has done to this country tells me we've lost our association with reason. It's not just liberal sycophants who tripped over themselves fawningly to wish Trudeau a goodbye. It was also our conservative politicians in this country. Everybody had kind words to say. Why? You know, if they were leaders, maybe they wouldn't be taking a victory lap, but they would say, good riddance. Glad he's gone. An era of destruction might finally end, but they don't say any of that. They're just all respectful and nice and polite, which is part of the fantastical illusion that Canada has of itself, of this polite little cottage country that's always nice to everybody. Can you not see how we are to the Americans right now? The people who are always waiting with bags of money to buy our products, the people who train their young men and women into their military and defend us because we don't have one of our own. We live under their security umbrella. We take their money. We take them for granted. And now, in spite of the fact that we hypocritically already charge them tariffs, and they're okay with it, they've been fine with it up to this point. And the fact that we charge the world tariffs and that we do it on a scale that other nations don't engage in, we hypocritically react with outrage and vitriol when they decide to do something to us. And one set of tariffs is because drugs that are being manufactured right here in Canada are finding their way into the United States and killing their people. And instead of telling the truth about that, instead of your politicians telling the truth that I've revealed in my videos and that Sam Cooper is revealing, telling you that you're a narco state overrun by triads and cartels and criminal gangs, you can see it on your streets with your own eyes. Instead of telling that truth, they're uniting behind an effort called Team Canada to apply taxes and penalties and threaten crimes against humanity against the United States rather than dealing with the crime problem. They want to defend the crime problem and use the honest Canadian worker as their pawns, their foot soldiers, the first over the wall to die, particularly Alberta and Saskatchewan. We're their first sacrifice. We're their piggy bank and we're their first sacrifice. And for 150 years, Ottawa has held the West down. I don't know what Daniel Smith is doing. I don't know what Scott Moe is doing. The loyalty to Canada and this concept of the Federation is completely unjustified and unwarranted at this point. How many generations have to live under the yoke before we create something new and get a better deal for the people? The fact that people from the so-called right and left accept Carney and the farce of his election so readily, Doug Ford even complimenting him, tells me we can no longer think critically. We aren't demanding better, but instead putting blind faith in a broken and unfair system. We believe in Canada like others believe in God, and some people have misunderstood that line. Faith for God alone, for every affair of men, reason, and verification. Never put faith in politicians. Never put faith in anything other than what descends from the Lord above. And if you're an atheist and you don't believe in God, fine. That's good. Don't put faith. Don't put your faith in a replacement or substitute for God. If you want to live without God, you go ahead. That's fine. But don't believe in a construct of politics as though it can replace belief in something greater. You need a higher calling. That's where faith belongs. Morality, right and wrong. There's enough in philosophy for people to understand the difference between ethics and morals. We need morals, not ethics. And if you're going to put your faith in anything and it's not going to be God, put your faith in morality, not ethics. It'll never steer you wrong. This is your so-called opposition, your conservative leader, Doug Ford, happily sitting down. They cut off the part where they give each other a big hug, greeting each other like old friends. Ford isn't meeting with Polyev. At the moment, as Prime Minister designate, Carney and Polyev are almost on an equal footing. Not really. But you don't see Ford talking about Polyev. You don't see Ford having the confidence that we're going to have a new government. He's dealing with the appointed government. He's dealing with the head of the Liberal Party that was just appointed in a farcical election where most of the voters were disenfranchised. They couldn't even verify their vote. They signed up. People I've talked to, 10 been Liberal Party members since Trudeau came along, were denied their franchise. It's disgusting. And every single leader, Polyev, Ford, all the alternative leaders, nobody really wants to call out the Liberal Party process. This is the so-called opposition in this country. They're all united, glad-handing with each other. What was this one? This is SP. My family has been in Alberta since the 1800s, before we were a province. My great-grandfather fought for provincehood. I fought the fight for Canada, helping build this country, especially Western Canada, right up until the frozen bank accounts and trampled grannies. Trudeau has proven our constitution is a joke. Now I'm like, why people ask Alberta for Alberta secession, economics, and logic. It is really time for Western Canada and all Canadians to ask for better from their constitution and from their charter and from their government. But I don't have much faith in the eastern part of this country for enough millions to wake up that they're actually getting a really bad deal and they're not living in a free country. They're living in a socialist hellhole. And it's just the way it is. I'm going to read another of my tweets. Actually, I'm going to read this one first. The die is cast for Canada. After months of warnings, everything I've predicted has come to pass. With Doug Ford's aggressive stance on America, followed by more threats, a negotiated settlement is approaching impossible. Pain is coming for Canada, and Western Canada has a choice to make. They can go back and forth. Doug Ford talks tough in the morning and collapses like a dying star in the afternoon. But eventually, it's going to be pitter-patter time. We're going to have to get at her. I got to find this tweet about statehood. Where did that thing go? Hope you guys don't mind me. There we are. Why are we so dead set against statehood, even just for the provinces of Western Canada? Without America, we don't prosper. It's true. There's one road link and one rail link linking this country together. If you've ever had the experience, which I have had, the first time I entered Western Canada by car, you feel the difference. It's perceptible. You come out of the big northern bush of Ontario and you drive into this open plain and you can feel it right away. First off, one of the first things I saw was a big F Trudeau flag. Huge, hanging by the highway. Felt like coming home. Eastern Canada doesn't butter our bread. America does. And they always have, in spite of the wishes of Eastern Canada, who has opposed our power and our prosperity every step of the way. All the while, having their hands in our pockets, taking our money and sending it to Quebec. Eastern Canada doesn't buy our products, and they've denied us market access, while the Americans have always just been there waiting with bags of money. As a state or states, our people would be far more sovereign and empowered on the whole, better, more representative government, lower taxes, and a much more favorable business climate. Ottawa has, as official policy, kept the West disenfranchised and clipped our wings for 150 years. Why not throw off the yoke? Most people don't understand how powerful a device statehood is. And that's not to say there aren't issues with American citizenship. Everywhere you go in the world, that citizenship follows you. You're always going to be paying tax to Uncle Sam. That's one disadvantage, and we can go over disadvantages. But there's far too many advantages. Any deal that liberates Western Canada, or all Canadians if they're smart enough to go along with it, is a better deal for the people. Whether it's Republic of Western Canada, getting out of this federation, renegotiating the federation, renegotiating the constitution, tearing it up and building a new one, we need to do something on that scale. More of the same isn't going to work. More of the same, we're going to be erased. There will be nothing left. There will be no cultural seed left upon which to rebuild. Now, statehood, if people were to actually understand it, I made a video where I compared point by point statehood versus what we have now. It is better on every single point. The citizens become more sovereign. They become more empowered. They become more liberated. They become more free. And what you think of as Canada does not disappear. Most Americans, and this is something that's peculiar to the Canadian mind or people on the outside, don't identify as Americans. They identify as Texans or Ohioans or Californians. Sometimes when you call an American, they actually take offense because they don't see it that way. Because the states are sovereign, individual. Certain powers are delegated under the Constitution to the federal government. And the states vociferously defend the powers that are relegated to them. There are movements afoot to redefine state borders, for certain parts of some states to join certain parts of other states to become more politically aligned. But there isn't a single viable secessionist movement in the United States right now that wants to break up with the Union. How powerful is it that a communistic hellhole like California or a big bureaucratic socialist state like New York and a state like Texas or Florida with their free enterprise philosophy and economics can all be united under the United States? Do you understand how powerful that is? The far left and the right both agree that being part of America is better. There's nobody who wants to leave. Canada gets to keep its flag. We can keep our anthem. We can keep everything. The people in the land don't change, but your level of empowerment changes. The equalization stops. The unfair constitution stops. The unelected Senate becomes elected. But take statehood off the table. What are we clinging to here? The country has been carved up and sold out for 40 years. And everybody wants to hold on to this mental picture of what Canada is. it hasn't been that way in a long time. Somebody said to me again today, your grandfathers died for this country, and you just want to give it away? It's been given away, and you didn't do anything. The very flag they fought the world wars under has been replaced. The nation they fought for, or the British colony, whatever you want to call it, disappeared in 1982. They replaced the flag in the 60s, and then they replaced the Bill of Rights in 1982, and you didn't get to vote for any of it. And then they gutted your manufacturing sector. They sold off your resource sector. They opened the floodgates to foreign capital, and China came pouring in. They undermined your culture. They undermined your government. They trained their troops on your soil. They operated police stations here. They unleashed their triads, and they set up factories that manufactured the fentanyl, which in the last couple of weeks has killed hundreds of people. Just in Saskatoon, actually, let me correct that, has led to hundreds of overdoses that without intervention would have led to death. I don't know how many of them died, so let me make sure I got that right. That's just one snapshot, one city. This is a crisis going on across the country. It's industrial in scale. It represents a significant portion of our GDP. We've become a money laundering and terrorist hub to the world. All of this has happened, and you have the audacity to tell me I'm the traitor? I'm the one trying to save what's left. I'm the one telling you the truth about the raw deal we got, about how terrible it is and how you've been gutted and sold out already. And I'm the bad guy? You got it wrong. I'm the good guy. I'm one of the only good guys left. And I'm going to keep on being good for as long as I'm allowed to be good. And I'm going to keep my head bowed in prayer, hoping that every single day that I do this, I am building towards something better, more just, more moral, and more righteous for every single person in this country, even the people who pour hate all over me. And there's a lot of you. And thank you for the engagement, because without the haters, I wouldn't reach so many new minds. And today's been a really good day in that regard. A lot of people writing messages saying they just found me for the first time. Also, alongside all the people who have been with me the longest, who know exactly what my work's been about for years now and how I operate, thanking me for the consistency. And I try. I am gunning for honesty and truth and a decent, positive vision. And I go wherever that leads, and it upsets a lot of people, and you'll just have to be upset. Because what is, is. And if we don't recognize it, we can never make it better. I'm Frank Vaughn, and I will see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.